You are listening to Spot On, a health and wellness podcast that breaks through the latest media headlines to provide you with accurate and usable information that is, well, spot on to meet your needs. I am your host, Dr. Joan Salgi-Blake, a nutrition professor at Boston University and the author of the college textbook called Nutrition and You, which is used in colleges across the United States and abroad. Hi, Spot On listeners and viewers. You know, they say that timing is everything in life. And you know something? That may actually pertain to when you eat. And today's episode, we're going to look at that. Is when you eat, what time of the day that you are consuming all the wonderful foods that you like, does that have an effect on your health? And today we're going to take a deep dive to figure out if that makes a difference. And soon I'll bring on my guest to get to the bottom of that. In the meantime, can you do me a favor? Can you subscribe to Spot On? There's a button right on your podcast providers, right on the top, that you can subscribe to the episodes. So this way that you'll never miss anything that's coming your way. Thanks again, and stay tuned, and I'll bring in our guest in 1 second. Okay, so we are back. My special guest here is Dr. Cheryl Gilhooly, and she has a PhD, and she's a nutrition researcher. And really, she investigates dietary patterns and eating behaviors. And how I found her is I was looking through the Journal of the American Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And lo and behold, she was part of a group that wrote this paper, and it was entitled Eating Timing, Then the Associations with Dietary Intake and Metabolic Health. So that's what I want to get to the bottom of this, Dr. Cheryl. So thank you so much for coming on Spot On.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here and talk about this.
I know. This is really, really exciting. So for years, I've been always interested in this, you know, the time of when you eat. You know, it's the old saying, you know, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper, you know, and supposedly that's good for metabolic health, or that's good for better weight management. So can you explain, this paper that you wrote was fascinating, and by the way, everybody, we're going to put this paper up on the Spot On Facebook page, so you'll have a ability to look at it too. But so what is this whole idea about timing of the day and interacting with what you're eating?
Yeah, I think it's such a fascinating question. And, I think I was just saying this the other day that as long as I've been a dietitian, it's one of the most common questions I get. And I think before we had the research that we still need more, but before some of this research came out, people are always like, is it okay to eat at night? Should I eat everything in the morning? So it's great. So I think, you know, the concept is we have these biological clocks, or we call them circadian rhythms, which is basically this 24-hour period of time where how our body changes its physiology, our behavior, we sort of have this internal clock regulating it. And we know that light affects that a lot in your sleep, like light and dark and your sleep patterns, but also when you eat perhaps too, because what's fascinating to me is that, so not only does your brain have this one clock, but it's regulating all the clocks in your body. So your organs have clocks, a lot of your tissues have clocks, and it's kind of they're all in sync, which is really cool. So if we think about that and how that relates to eating, you know, maybe there's something to it where it doesn't matter if we're eating late when our body's starting to feel more tired or more asleep, or maybe our organs are starting to go to sleep. So there's, you know, there's more and more research kind of looking at that and how that affects how we eat or our health, you know, in connection with our eating habits.
I think we always use the analogy, Dr. Cheryl, that, you know, your body's like a car and you got to put gas in it and, you know, for the car to run, you got to put food in the body for the body to run. But when you think about it, you know, a car runs whenever you say start, but your body may not, it may run, but it may not run efficiently at night or differently, you know, metabolically from the morning to the night. So what you're saying is, right, so that, and basically you may have to feed it, put the gasoline in earlier in the day rather than late at night, because the body is kind of tied to this 24-hour rhythm. Is that sort of what we're getting out of here?
Yeah, exactly. I think, and you know, I think as we find out more with the, you know, the mechanisms and how all this works, because I think it's probably really complex when you really get into it, but looking at just maybe how your blood sugar control is, maybe it's, I think some studies have shown, like, if you eat more of your calories during the early part of your day, it's controlled a little bit better than maybe if you're eating really late at night. However, we also want to think about the types of foods we pick maybe earlier in the morning compared to what we start snacking on later at night. And I think there's some research support, maybe we don't make the best choices in those late hours.
I think
the type of food.
I'm not having, Cheerios and milk when I'm watching Jimmy Kimmel. You don't think so?
Yeah. So a little bit of snacking foods tend to, you know, so I think sometimes when we talk about this too, we don't talk about all the types of foods. So that was one of the things in the paper we really sort of wanted to start looking at, with looking at diet, you know, diet composition and diet quality, kind of what those foods are and how they're related to the timing.
Let's get into the paper, what the study really did, because this was really interesting. You had some time-restricted eating, and what did you do in this whole study? Map it out for us.
All right. So this was this paper came out of a larger study. So researchers at Tufts, Susan Roberts was the principal investigator of this paper, and researchers in the Army, the U.S. military and NADIC were also part of the study. And it was a bigger weight loss study. But what this paper focused on was, it was on women from this bigger study who were dependents of active military personnel or retired military personnel who were overweight and were going to be part of this larger study. So we just looked at the baseline data. So kind of a snapshot of them before they got into the intervention of the bigger study. And that's what this paper reported on. So just looking at when they came in, we got some diet data from them. And one of the main things we're looking at is, as you said, time-restricted eating. And what that is it's in the news a lot nowadays too. It's you might hear about intermittent fasting, but it's kind of shortening the window of time that you eat throughout the day. So a lot of us might eat maybe for 15 hours of the day. Maybe we start at 7, don't stop until 10 p.m. But if you have a shorter window, and again, the definitions kind of change, but in research, it's been anywhere from 4 to 11, 12 hours is this shorter window of time. So maybe you start eating at 7 in the morning, but you stop by 5. And you don't eat later. So that's kind of what time-restricted eating. So then you give your body this period of time where you're fasting and not eating. So with this study, what we were able to do with their baseline information before they started this intervention, we had some diet information on them and also took things like, we had their weight, body fat, also took a blood sample. And they were able to, and, you know, from this, these diet data we collected, we were able to look at, like, what's their diet composition, percent fat, percent protein, percent carbohydrates, but also looking at the diet quality. And we can put a score on that to say, how close to the dietary guidelines are they? And so that's kind of what, you know, we started to look at. And
that's so interesting. So, all right. So what did you find? And I'm sorry. So how many women were in this study?
It was about just under 200, I think it was like 229 women. And it was in 5 different states across the country because they went to different military installations. So, they came in and were able to do a lot of this by phone too. We were able to collect information from them by phone for this. And then researchers went out to their sites to collect some of that other information on them. So like even their body weight was done in person and collected that way. So yeah, so what we found is we really wanted to know, you know, because a lot of research at that time when this study was done was starting to look like time-restricted eating might have some benefits. Like maybe shortening that period of time especially might cut some calories out of your day. So that's kind of a lot of what I think when people are doing this, they might lose a little weight. It might be helpful for weight management in result of like cutting some of their calories. And that's kind of what we saw with these data too, that every hour that they increased was like another 50 calories throughout their every day. So as their window was getting bigger by every hour, you were adding calories to that.
So in other words, like I think it was 11-hour window that they could eat?
Yeah, this one so this wasn't giving them instructions on how to eat, but it was saying from how you eat at baseline without any intervention, that we use the 11-hour window. Again, some studies do a much shorter window. This one used 11 hours. And those who had that time-restricted eating for 11 hours, if you just looked at that, had less calorie intake compared to those who had a longer window throughout the day.
So if they went 12 hours, that they added another 53 calories to the diet? And if they went 13 hours, in other words, stretching this out.
That's how the data, yeah, that's how our analysis kind of looked. Then we also wanted to look like, well, what if people eat more of their calories during the early hours? So by that we mean they ate like at least 60% of their calories in their first half of their waking time, because everyone's a little bit different with their time awake. And those folks, just having the time-restricted feeding was 140 more calories per day. But then if early eaters, don't remember if they had more calories, but what we also looked at was bedtime eating, because a lot of research too is saying, well, maybe eating late could be associated with some negative health outcomes or higher calories. And we also found that. So if you ate within 2 hours of going to sleep, those people who had that in their food recalls were eating about 235 more calories per day. So that's significant. That's if you're having about 200, almost 250 more calories a day, just because you're eating 2 hours before you go to bed, maybe that's intervention you could look at when someone's trying to, cut their calories.
All right, so let me get this straight. So when time-restricted eating, when they had time-restricted eating, less than 11 hours, no more than 11 hours, every hour after that, 12 hours, 13, you found an increase of about 50 calories more every hour that just stretched it out. And then when you looked at when they were eating and they had more calories during the day and less going at night, you saw a reduction of calories going in.
Yes. And then even more was if you were what we called the bedtime kind of eater, eating to really close to bedtime, that was really the highest calorie level we saw difference than the non-bedtime eaters, was that was almost like 240 calories more every day for those people eating later in their day. The message was like shifting those calories earlier seemed to be helpful for the total calories.
All right, so in this study, it looked like that what you tried to do is, a time-restricted eating, and your benchmark was 11 hours, and so going less than 11 hours was better for you calorically. That means you got less calories coming in, but for every hour after 11th, the 12th hours, an extra about 50 calories was added to your diet. So if it went 12 hours or 13 hours, then it was like almost an extra 100 calorie. So the take-home message there is the longer the eating window that people have, the more that they eat. Now, I mean, that makes all the sense in the world, because if you're awake and you just keep on snacking all the way up to the time you go to bed, you're going to probably have more calories taken in. But then when you looked at the study group here, and when you looked at those that ate maybe a restricted time, restricted 11 or less hours, but had more calories earlier in the day and less at bedtime, they really had really a dramatically less calorie intake.
Right. It was significant for eating less total calories per day. And the other thing they found, with the analysis looking even at a marker like waist circumference, which we find, larger waist circumference could be connected to cardiovascular disease risk, that every additional hour of daily eating interval also was associated with a higher waist circumference. So that was kind of interesting too.
Dr. Childers is interesting because there was a study and it came and it's had this phenomenal statistics that was based on eating patterns of Americans from the NHANES data. And it said 35% of American adults eat for 13 hours a day. Okay, now get ready to this. 59% consume calories after 9 p.m. So there
Really
goes,
interesting.
and it's funny because I read your study and then I found this statistic and I'm saying, my goodness gracious, no wonder she found this interesting thing. Because so this whole American pattern, I always say that you eat like a triangle. As the day goes on, your calories increase, could be problematic in a couple ways, that you're just eating for hours upon hours, and also that you're eating the majority of your calories later in the day, and it's out of sync then with these circadian rhythms.
Right, exactly. So you're right. And that's where I think, you know, the more we kind of look at this and really pick apart some of these dietary patterns with what's going on in the body, you know, we can still see, because some people can get away with eating at night and seem to do just fine, but maybe it's the amount or the type or their physical activity or their other health parameters that, you know, that make it okay. But you know, that's why, yeah, I think, you know, this has been used, time-restricted feeding has been used as a popular weight loss strategy because it's different than having to count your calories all day, right? So it's sort of like this easy thing to go to say, you know what? You don't have to count your calories and write down everything or follow this diet plan. Just stop eating at 7 p.m. You know, so some people like that because it's just a simple message. However, you still want to maybe look at what they're eating throughout the day, or if they're really hungry at night, like why? You know, maybe you want to look at that too. Like maybe they're not eating, you know, higher fiber and higher protein throughout their day, where they're feeling really hungry, and therefore it's leading to these snacking, you know, episodes at night. So one of the other things we want to do too was kind of look at diet quality and the composition. So that we didn't see much difference with the time-restricted eaters and not the ones who were not time restricted with their diet quality. But again, this was just a snapshot across time. So I think as you do more intervention studies and what's helpful, probably the combination of looking at diet quality plus a shorter window would be really fascinating to kind of see how people do with that.
You know, what you said was very interesting. You said that, you know, for some people, the restricted eating, it doesn't matter if they restrict their eating or eat before they go to bed. Yeah, this is just, you saw this, you know, from this population here. And we did a whole, in this season 11 of Spot On, we started off with the title of Precision Nutrition. And that's all personalized nutrition. And so that's going to be interesting to figure out, gee, am I a person where I can't eat late at night because it causes my body to store more fat because it fouls up my metabolism, or it doesn't really matter with my body, you know? So like it's like what you just said before, it may work for some people or it may be different for other people.
Right. And you want to think about too, I mean, if you're on medications or have a certain disease status, like you definitely would talk to a doctor or dietitian, you know, about how this could affect you, right? Because you don't want to maybe have a long period of fasting if you have certain, you know, issues going on that affect where you do need some food intake, or you need to take that with a medication or whatever it is. So that's where everyone's gonna be different. And I can't wait for some of the personalized nutrition and precision nutrition to, you know, come out over the years to kind of really figure out how we can give people better advice based on your own physiology and when the best time of eating would be.
Right. And you know, this whole precision nutrition is coming our way, and it's going to be really fabulous when we can personalize it. But you know, what you said is true. Like, it sounds like for some people, and right now we don't know who those people react to this, but eating closer to bedtime may make managing their weight or losing weight a little bit more challenging. But there are some people, and if you're taking medications for diabetes and you're taking, whether it's insulin or you're taking oral medication, you know, you may have to have a snack before you go to bed. You don't want to come up short in the middle of the night. And you know, the flip side, you said something interesting about exercise. You know, what you exercise during the day, that might have an effect. And we also, I also did a Spot On podcast with a sports dietitian who does professional teams, and she makes her professional athletes have a protein-rich snack before they go to bed because it helps build muscle synthesis. So here we go, that everybody is a little unique, but I just thought that was really, really interesting that the timing of when you eat may have an effect on, like you said, your waist circumference and your storage of fat. I do have to agree with you though, that what you're eating is also very important. You know, people always ask me, you know, should I not skip breakfast? Should I skip breakfast? You know, what should I do? And I said, well, you know, something, you know, the problem with that is if you skip breakfast, are you making up for those foods later on the day? And like, you know, like in other words, if I skip breakfast and I'm watching Jimmy Kimmel, as they just said, I'm not really having a bowl of cereal with, you know, skim milk and a banana. I'm, you know, doing the chips and the dips, you know. So it's, you may skip it, but you don't get, you know, you lost all that fabulous nutrition in the high fiber cereal and the calcium in the milk and everything else. So we have to look at the diet quality and put them together. So interesting.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I think, you know, I think more research will come out looking at that too. There's been a few more studies since this one, and there hasn't been too much found with diet quality, but it's also maybe because those studies weren't designed to intervene with quality yet, or like this was just baseline data before an intervention. But right, I mean, I think if, you know, I think you want to be careful with the message, like if you just eat for 6 hours a day, but the quality of your diet's not great, you might still have negative health outcomes from that too. So,
I mean, I know people who've said to me, I only eat from, 10 to 2 or whatever, but what are you eating in that 10 to 2? I mean, that's a small window to get all the nutrients that your body needs. And also, we know now that spreading out your protein throughout the day is good for muscle synthesis. So in other words, if you're going to only eat from 10 to 2 and have like, a whole chicken, get it all, what about the rest of the day? So this is very, very intriguing, but I can see if you limit your eating to like say 11 hours, that says, okay, I can't have any cookies now because I'm on my 12th hour. And that could cut a heck of a lot of calories out.
Right. I think if you're, if you kind of really think through your strategy and say, look at your current diet, and if people tend to be getting another 500 calories or more right before bed because they're picking high calorie dense foods and snacking, or, bringing a bag of potato chips is different than, portioning out a few things and bringing that. So if that's where you tend to, have a lot of calories, maybe the strategy of saying, we're pretty sure that maybe your body's doing something different towards these evening hours close to bed. So it's a good strategy, like if you're working with a dietitian or your doctor, to say, maybe I just cut that out and see how the rest of the day I can keep improving. But it's, so I think for a simpler message, but again, you don't want to say have the window and don't worry about anything else. I think that wouldn't be great, but, I think it's something that kind of makes sense. And, again, or if you plan, I mean, I love meal planning. I think it's something people have to work at, but if you have those foods in your house, or you've kind of planned a snack when you are hungry at night, so you have a plan, and you can pick from maybe those healthier choices. So it's always a good idea too.
Yeah. And also, if you're a person that's been skipping breakfast and goes skimpy on lunch, and you just basically eat from 4 p.m. all the way on because you're starving, you may look at that. So I think it's great to take a log for a week, and where are you eating? Where are you not eating? Because also, if you're eating a lot, banking a lot of your calories later in the day, all the other way up to the time you go to sleep, that can also affect your sleep, right?
Yeah, and I think that's some of this too, where if you're starting to and affecting sleep and not sleeping regularly or getting that amount of sleep you need, I think is part of this starting to kind of disturb your circadian rhythms, right? So now you're disturbing it more and you're eating late, and what is that doing? So if the circadian rhythms, like if your organs are asleep, going to sleep, and then you're eating and your blood sugar is not being, you're not metabolizing all this the way you would earlier in the day, all of this just starts adding up, right? Like, so it's, and then you're tired, and then you also start eating for those reasons too, because you're tired and want something to stay awake with.
Yeah, there's hormone. We know that when you're really exhausted, you have a higher level of ghrelin in this hormone. Yeah. We call it the hungry hormone. So being sleep deprived is going to make you hungry. I love what you just said. At night, when your organs are going to sleep and you start eating a lot of food, it's like the organs are like, no, it's night time. I don't want any food. I don't want to digest this food. I want to go night. So could you stop eating this food?
Right. And I think now with our electronics on, and I think all of that contributes, people who work overnight or people who travel a lot, all of that can kind of, you start disrupting these things. And, I think there's some support in the data that this disruption can now have effect on things like your food, or you think of stress level. There's so many things that factor into those biological clocks and keeping them on track. So I think, you know, having a good sleep schedule is really important part of that too. And, you know, putting the phone down and trying to, you know, plan your meals and your snacks. And, you know, again, it doesn't mean if you have a big, you know, you're out and you have something and there's an event and you're eating at night, you know, it happens, right? But I think it's what we're doing all the time, and just disrupting that schedule can, over time, probably have some negative effects. So
this is all fascinating. And for our listeners or our viewers here, that many times, depending upon your health insurance, And you could meet with a registered dietitian that could help you look at your eating patterns, that's what you do, as well as the quality of the food that you're eating, and say, you know, maybe the dietitian could say, let's do try this with you, because you may be one of these types of people that would respond to eating more of the calories during the day and less at night. Let's go see what happens. And so I think a lot of people don't realize that this could be covered by their insurance if they have other medical issues, one being overweight or high blood pressure, high cholesterol. So they ought to look into that and have somebody kind of personalize this for you until we can get more data about, you know, individualized nutrition. And a dietitian will do that for you. So I'm excited about this, because I think anything that can help people to just, like, make it easier to eat more healthfully. And it could be just eating more during the day and less at night, and maybe improving the quality, I think is so good for all of us.
I'm really excited too. I think there's so much being done. This is definitely a hot topic. And I think there'll be more and more coming out very soon on it. And, you know, we need to know more.
You got that right. All right. Dr. Cheryl Gilhooly, I want to thank you so much for coming on Spot On. And this is a topic we're going to address, I know, in the next season or the season after that, because more and more data is coming in. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. So go back to your research and start banging out some more information for us. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Spot On is supported by the Boston University Sargent College's Master of Science degree in nutrition program. Log on to bu.edu to learn more about this fabulous nutrition graduate program. Thank you for listening to Spot On. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This way you'll get every new episode every week. And by the way, leave us a nice review. And can you also like us on our Spot On Facebook page and suggest topics for future episodes? Please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joan Salgi Blake. And oh, by the way, can you send this episode to 5 of your friends? Do I ask a lot of you?